Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. On this week's programme, we focused on Letterkenny's Cathedral Quarter and the role the project is having in helping businesses on Church Lane. Later in the show, we'll be hearing from a number of traders along the well-known street, David Faulkner, Michelle McCarroll-Neal and Melinda Stella Milner. But first, we hear from the Secretary of Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter, Donan Harvey. Donan's grandparents' home at No. 3 Church Lane was built in 1899. His family lived there since the 1950s, and the house is now headquarters for Letterkenny's Cathedral Quarter. Established in 2014, Donan explained that while the initial aim of the Cathedral Quarter was to save the Church Lane and save its historic buildings from dereliction, it has developed into something much bigger.
The group was set up, established in 2014, and I suppose it was initially the campaign was Save the Church Lane and I suppose save the historic buildings from dereliction. But then it kind of grew into something much more than that, and it was about the idea of establishing a historical quarter in the heart of Letterkenny, so having a nice cultural, vibrant quarter. And these are all over the world, and every major town and city that we go and visit on our holidays, and there's no reason in the world why we couldn't have here one in Donegal and Letterkenny.
And what is your association with the Church Lane?
Well, it's my family home, so this would be my grandmother's home, and I suppose the family have lived on here since about 50, so there's connection with the place, and we kind of care about it, and we'd like to see that. You know, it was when my grandfather were here, was once a vibrant part of town, and it had fallen into, I suppose, disrepair, like a lot of places around the country, not just Donegal, I suppose, but it's showing that, you know, we can, these historic areas can have a new purpose and things like that there. So it's definitely that we can her architectural heritage has a purpose, and that's how I got involved in it.
So how important is it done for an area like Church Lane that's still in the heart of the Letterkenny that it survives, prospers, and develops into the future?
Oh, I think it's very important. Like, I suppose, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, like when Letterkenny was growing, that, you know, at the time, the main street would have been the heart of the town with the local shops and things like that there. And then, look, this is all over the world, it's not just here, that they sort of moved out of town developments and things like that there. But, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we can't turn back the clock. We can't tell everybody to come back onto the main street. But this thing is that this is where the history is, and this is where, you know, like our heritage and whatnot. And then visitors to come into Letterkenny and to other towns and around the country and the county, I suppose, that they want to find out about our history and our local heritage, and that's very important, you know. So that, whereas in, you know, no disrespect to any of the out-of-town developments, but if you're on one, you've seen them all, that sort of way. Like, so that's and this vibrancy that people pick up on when they do come and visit the area now. So that's that what we wanted to establish in the place.
You're 7 years established, as you mentioned earlier. A lot of changes and a lot of improvements in the area done, and they're very notable. Even this morning, walking down to meet you here, talk to me a bit about those improvements and about those changes.
Yeah, well, it was very much, you know, like taking small steps, and we had no money at the time, and we still don't, you know, our resources are fairly tight. But it was like doing the little things, and I suppose like what is it, like from little acorns, really mighty oaks grow, and it was about taking the small steps. So I remember earlier on working with Letterkenny Youth Reach and scraping off the dead paint off the building, putting on a new lick of paint, working with the Tidy Towns, putting in the flower boxes and up on the top of the windowsills, and the buildings were derelict, and people are probably thinking, God, what are them? And people are questioning your sanity. But at the same time, then when people seen the flowers, they're lovely flowers, but they also noticed the dereliction and what could become. So those smaller steps then led on to us, you know, working with the council and Joe Geller and Colette Beattie and Joanne McMenamin, putting in an application to the Heritage Council and the Department of Housing for the Historic Towns Initiative. And so then working with the various property owners. So that was the big leap forward, you know, in terms of then real money coming into the area. And then, I suppose, then going on now with the latest announcement of the $18 million for the regeneration of Letterkenny, and then the $10 million for like this greater cathedral quarter area, like stretching from the Market Square over as far as Spears Lane and things like that there. So, you know, like the idea of opening up all that land on behind and you know, like that. Like what are our ideas that we've always kind of thinking is that like you could have like a park, a parklet, and that's what the council is, and then again, you know, we go to New York or them bigger cities, Dublin as well. You know, New York, you got Central Park, Dublin's Phoenix Park. I mean, why can't we have? Obviously, it's not as big as that, but why can't we have a version of a green, nice oasis, a calm in the centre of town? And it's again like we do have wonderful parks in Letterkenny. You know, you've got the Baron Glenishy Town Park, and then you've got the Ballymacool Park. But say if I'm an office worker here working in the town, or solicitor's office or whatever, I'm not going to go and get in the car. I've got half an hour for lunch. I'm not going to go. It's too far away for anybody who's working in the centre of town. Whereas if we did have this park in the centre of town, you know, it's a 5-minute stroll. It makes this place such a much more attractive place to live, work and visit.
Are you confident there's something that will happen?
Well, we would be hopeful, and the regeneration team have you know, they've put in initial ones, and obviously, like, we're all we want to see things move faster than sometimes they do, but we're hopeful that it will happen, because the idea then that if I was a business owner on the main upper main street, that if this did happen, way this linkage happened, that you could have front and back access. And I mean, geez, there wouldn't be too many places in the country that would have such, you know, that potential. Like, so hopefully it will happen.
In relation to potential, what is the potential for more businesses coming to the area? There are a number of businesses that are successfully operating here. Is that a part of the future plan?
Well, it's you know, we have been successful. Like at the very start, there was just the bookshop across the road, and there was a wee sewing room up at the top, and there was nothing else here. And now we've got to the stage where that if we actually wanted to if you wanted to open up a business on the Church Lane, you couldn't, because of the buildings. You know, while they look pretty on the outside, they need to be fixed up on the inside. So then we're working with the business owners to try, or not the business owners, should I say, the property owners, and try and get them buildings fixed up and running. So again, you know, one of the things that we are always kind of advocating is that the idea, you know, back to the old style of living above the shop idea, that, you know, you could have your business down, but you could live maybe above, and there's one of the buildings here has got three levels, so that is a possibility. Like, and it's, you know, there's many things now that has happened and can happen. It's just about getting a reuse for these are historic builds, I suppose.
How happy are you with the progress to date from the last 7 years?
I'd be delighted with the physical progress and things like that. You know, it's been absolutely magic and the wildest dreams. Now, where I do have my complaint is that I'm still, technically, I'm on the dole doing this here. And this is where the real deficiency is, and it's the state that, you know, that there's no, they don't recognise the contributions and things like, and the schemes that we would have been working under, like applying for Pubble to get a CSP or a community, I forget the technical term for a worker, a development worker, that the bar's too high, you know, because we're a small group, and, you know, in terms of our personnel, and that they really need to look at different models for community development, because it doesn't, I'll be honest, it doesn't exist here in this country. And then, like, we have came across there recently, like for urban regeneration groups, there's a group in Scotland called Mid-Staple Quarter, and they're taking on 3 or 4 staff, like, you know, this idea. And why can't communities have a greater say and, you know, in their area? And as you said, we're proof of the pudding that this can happen. And we've been in touch with groups down in Tala, possibly a group in Drogheda. But the problem is that it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of determination to get things done. But you're banging your head up against the brick wall sometimes with there's so much bureaucracy. And that's... It's like that they... everything's kind of done on a balance sheet, like, and it's these programs, but we don't love our lives on balance sheets. You know, you love our life by loving. So, you know,
Don, how hopeful are you that will change?
Well, we had the different Donegal TDs have all written to the Heritage Minister, you know, asking for a salaried officer for this project. And the Heritage Minister is coming up to visit the area. He's going to be a guest of honour at the unveiling of the mural. And again, we'll be making this point to him. But, we're hoping to get in contact with people from the Mudstable Quarter and see how did you do it? You know, they can buy buildings, they can take on staff. But if it can be done there, why can't we have this, these type of developments here? Like, it just means, you know, greater empowerment for local community groups. And as I said, you know, 7 years ago, the place was down on its heels. But look at today, it's a nice, vibrant area. So, you know, so that's, anything is possible.
And finally, Donal, what's your long-term vision for the Church Lane area?
Well, I suppose for the Greater Cathedral Quarter area would be like the you see those linkages, talking about the Market Square linking up there again. See how it goes. It won't be easy, but it's possible again. And then that idea that this green area, and then these artisan. I know the council put in for a purpose-built building for artisan workers again. You know, and look, it's the history and the heritage of the area. It's all here. You got two wonderful. You know. The cathedral, you go and stand at the bottom of the Church Lane and you look up. Now again, that's another thing when we see these overhead wires being buried. I mean, where would you get that view? You know, it is majestic, and we have it right in the centre here of Letterkenny. We're blessed to have it. And then, like, again, Church Lane's called after Como Parish Church, you know, and then our logo is made up of the four churches in the area, like the little Gospel Hall and Trinity Presbyterian Church. I mean, we have everything here. You know, it's the history of the area and things like that there, and as I said, they're all over the world. Why can't we have one here in Donegal?
Donal Harvey, Secretary of Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter Group. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thanks very much, Ciarán.
David Faulkner is owner of Universal Books. He's been in business for 25 years and has been based on Church Lane since 2007.
We first set up in Alfred Green's shopping centre. Down in the Market Square, and we were actually selling out of cardboard boxes in a very small unit, and then it started to get a little bit bigger. That was in September-ish, I think, in 1996. So, yeah, it's a while ago now, yeah.
And when did you take the decision to move to Church Lane?
Well, we moved from Alfie Green's shopping centre up to... the Market Square, across from the Brewery Bar, and we had a great business up there, up until the recession, and I think we moved from Alfie's about after 2 or 3 years, so that gave us about over 10 years in the Market Square up in Brady Boyle's, who owned the Brewery Bar at the time. But no, it was a great unit, and it was a great business at the time. Unfortunately, a recession had to come.
And you're here now, 14 years, is that right?
It must be, yeah, it must be 13, 14 years at least. The Church Lane's fantastic. It's a place, it's our home now, that's for sure.
What's so special about the Church Lane, David?
Do you know what? I'm not sure. I remember my mum and dad asking me to check out this unit. Now, Tom had he had a bookshop up here. He did the school books. Poor Tom has passed away, there was always a bookshop here, then there was a crafty shop, but there was just something about this unit that always had a bookshop. So we approached the owner, and the owner was easy to deal with, and it just worked out well. Now, unfortunately, a very big recession hit shortly after we moved up, and I think we were basically the only business on the street. Bakersville was a very famous bakery next door, but unfortunately that business closed shortly after we moved up. So it was a bleak few years after we landed.
So you reinvented yourself in your business, obviously, and you're up and running now again.
True, yep, yep. We did. I remember Dad saying, let them wonder what you're going to sell next. So we, I think if you, when you look around here, you can see.
So, David, talk to me. We're at the back of the shop looking out. There are people still looking in here. It's almost 7 o'clock in the morning evening.
Yeah.
For our listeners, give us a brief tour.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, it used to be a record shop, and now I can see in front of us there's guitars, there's a gong, there's a British Army helmet, there's an officer's bag from the 1800s, there's a pair of binoculars, I can see Star Wars figures, there's a globe, there's a huge selection of books, vinyl. I've got some religious figures there. There's a top hat. There's a record player. Oh, God, the list goes on. I've got a buying problem.
I heard your conversation with a few customers earlier on. You were in the process of buying a new supply of stock. Talk to me about that process.
Do you know what? I dream of getting away. And it's difficult in the last year. But we actually did make a run to England over to some of the antique fairs. And, oh my God, the selection's fantastic. I love going over to England. Now, during lockdown, we all stayed put. But recently, we made a run over. There was three of us went over to, there was a Peterborough Antique Fair. It's one of the biggest ones in Europe. And, oh, it was heaven. I spent way too much money. My credit card's destroyed. But sure, we'll make it back eventually.
What's the attraction about antiques, David? And where did that love of antiques come from?
Do you know what? It's not only antiques. It doesn't have to be. Antique is a posh word. I like to think oddities. The cabinet behind you was got from Letterkenny General Hospital. It was from the morgue. So... Do you know what? It's a beautiful display cabinet. It's got the old car handle doors. It screams cool. And why not? It needed to find it at home, so it found it in Universal Books.
And books is very much the overriding feature behind everything else, David, as well, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. Do you know what? If I had my way, Donegal people need a place for... Well, look, we even found your book. For us to display our writings, and Donegal people love to read about our history, and sure, we found your book, Donegal Sporting Greats, on the wall, and how cool was that? And it wasn't planted.
David, what is special now about being on Church Lane with things in a much better place looking outside?
Oh, do you know what? After that recession, Donan would come over and he says, I've got an idea and we're going to rejuvenate this area. Now, without a doubt, without Donan's foresight and his push, this would not have happened. And that, hand to God, he has worked so hard. This man came over and says, we've got free paint to do the windowsills, and at least the windowsills are going to look nice. And then we borrowed a power washer from the Traveller family on the back road. And we, like a nice evening like today, we washed all the street the whole way down. And spent our time where we could have been home with our families or making the place look pretty. And I started to notice when the customers would come in, they would stop at the front door and they would look up and go, has something changed? And it had. You know, we got some free window boxes, we got some paint, we were cleaning the street. Now, Donlan's taken it to a whole new level. You know, with the huge grant and getting all the facades changed on the houses. He needs to be employed full time and be given the status he deserves to continue this project, because nobody else would have gone as far as he's gone and not get paid. Jeez, my God, when you think about it. Like,
how beneficial has the revamping of this area been for your business, David?
Oh, we wouldn't be here. Straight up. Because Bakersville next door closed. There was only myself and Donan. He'd come in for a cup of tea. We would hope that a tourist would come up, but even during the recession, sure, everybody knows times were very tight. The Wild Atlantic Way was an ingenious idea. That brought people from down south. You know, it got them out of Dublin. So I think at one point, wasn't it, the Wild Atlantic Way in America was one of the number one Google searches. But often fantastic idea. And we were seeing new people coming through. So to get through that recession was fantastic. Because we're 25 years in business, Universal Books, Universal Records and Books. And to see fantastic times back in 99, 2000 and up to 2005, 2006, it was such a drop from, you know, from being so busy to basically holding on.
And before I let you go, in relation to COVID and the lockdowns, how did you find that and how did your business cope with that, David?
Well, John has been working with me here for over 20 years. And firstly, we didn't get a COVID payment for the first 3.5 weeks. And we actually started to panic. And I had actually maxed my credit card out because I love buying stuff. So I managed to buy a fairly large record collection, and it landed the day before the country closed. So that was a bit of a worry. And on top of that, there was a new baby in the house. So not only were we busy at the house, but there was no money coming in. So we had to look at pushing the business online, which I did very much so with Facebook. And anybody that's seen our Facebook, Universal Books, Letterkenny, would have seen the effort that I put behind telling people, please remember local business, please shop local. You know, this is important. If you like the shop, we really would like to stay in business. So please remember us when you want to buy something. We offered free delivery around the Letterkenny area for anybody that bought 10 euros worth of books. I put a huge effort into trying to make sure that our name was still out there.
And did it pay off?
It did. We're here. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of cafes and bars are going to struggle to open after the COVID. I'm sure there's a lot of businesses that are still struggling. But look, we have to look forward to the future. Where the country's back open. People aren't travelling to Spain. We've got tourists in the shop at the minute. Hi, guys. And it's great to see people out and about. You know, it's important that we make the effort. But it's down to brilliant staff, you know, and people that we're working with for so long that, you know, want us to survive.
You mentioned the future, David. And finally, what does the future hold for yourself and your business?
I think as I did a big talk with one of the staff members today, and I think we need to push with a more of an online presence. We were posting books out to Sweden today. We actually posted a book out to China, which I thought was hilarious. So I know we need maybe a bigger online presence. That's just not the Facebook. So I think I'm going to have to focus a wee bit more on that. But at the minute, we'll do the best we can and keep buying in the most random things, because we live in a world where you can click a button and order anything you want online and get it delivered to your house. But there's nothing better than walking into a shop and go, what the hell is this boy selling? So, you know, hopefully we're getting there, you know.
David Fogland of Universal Books on Church Lane, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today on Business Matters.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you very much, eh?
Michelle McCarroll Neal is an award-winning contemporary knitwear designer, and she set up her studio on Church Lane in 2004.
Well, I actually started my business in 2003, but I was in Church Lane in 2004. I literally nearly just came off the plane from London after doing my MA, and the next thing started into my business. And yeah, I've been here ever since, working away.
What's nice about working on Church Lane?
Oh, it's the area is just amazing. It's so stunning. Just as well, it's a really lovely wee community to work within. Everybody knows everybody and everybody helps everybody out. It's just a lovely neighbourhood to be in.
We're downstairs in your studio.
We're surrounded by garments, all handmade. Can you talk to me about what you do here?
Yeah, I do a lot of... It's all knitted by myself, and a lot of it's made to measure. I do a lot of occasion wear, so for weddings and for, you know, anything really, christenings, or I'm starting now a new bridal range as well, just accessories for brides. Yeah, I also have hats for outdoors, everything you can think of that you can knit, basically, I knit.
And how did you end up getting into this industry?
It was just through college. I actually started doing furniture design, and I was sitting, and I was living with a Gaird at the time who was doing textiles, and I was just so jealous. I just wanted to be working with fabric. My grandfather was in the business. He had a children's wear business up in Inishowen, and I think that just rubbed off on me. So eventually I transferred from furniture design and became knitwear then.
Talk to me about your client base and your signature.
My signature, I say the signature would definitely be colour. Everybody knows me for colour. So a lot of my client base, they're definitely people that love, they're a bit quirky. They love colour, they love their fashion. But I do have a very wide client base, actually, so it's not necessary. It's like I would get younger people as well as older people. It's quite hard to pinpoint it. But basically people are into colour.
Yeah. And you supply local craft shops as well, Michelle?
I do, yeah. I'm part of the Donegal Designer Makers Network in Ardra. So we have a cooperative shop there, and that's been going now for the last, gosh, I think about 6 years. And I also supply Amelia's here in the main street, Francis. And now hopefully we'll be opening my own place here too soon. I'm refurbishing at the moment, so hopefully we'll get things on the on the road soon.
When did the works begin, and when are you hoping that they'll be completed?
The interior work has been going on because with the pandemic it's been really difficult to get a builder. So hopefully now within the next month, I should have the builders in and we'll have everything up and running. Hopefully by Christmas, definitely. Fingers crossed by Christmas.
And how did the pandemic impact on your own business, Michelle?
Well, it definitely wasn't easy. Everything kind of switched to online, definitely. Also because there were less occasions for people to go to, not many weddings, you know, smaller weddings. So the products that people were buying totally changed. It was more kind of outdoors wear, you know, scarves, more accessories, things like that that people were buying, as opposed to clothing. But that will all change as soon as we can all get out and enjoying ourselves again.
And have you noticed a change in the last number of weeks or months?
Yes, I definitely did. As soon as lockdown ended, there was definitely sales were coming back, and I do definitely see that change where now I'm starting to sell bigger pieces. It's great, really great.
You took a decision to rebrand in 2019. Can you explain that to me?
And I was Mishi, which was a nickname of mine since I was knee high to a grasshopper. Basically, I found out I was doing a course on IP and found out that somebody had trademarked my name within Europe and the US. It was actually a totally different. They were still in clothing, but they weren't in knitwear. So I just decided, you know, this is time to make a wee change. And there was a few things I wanted to change with the business anyway, so it allowed me to do this relaunch, basically. So now I'm Michelle.
The Cathedral Quarter project has been a huge success. Have you noticed a resurgence and a change of tempo and style about Church Day in the last year or two?
Oh, definitely. The work is just amazing that's going on. Donan and the committee have done an amazing job. Just to see the life back in the street is just wonderful, really is. The tourists as well. I noticed a big change, loads of tourists coming in. Taking photos of all the properties and everything. It really is great, yeah. Big change, yeah.
And finally, Michelle, what does the future hold for yourself and your business?
Well, my goal is just to get the studio open to the public. I've been dying to get this ready, and with the pandemic I've been running a bit behind, so hopefully I'll be open by Christmas, and look forward to seeing everybody coming in. and seeing my products.
Michelle McCarroll Neil, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thank you.
Melinda Stella Milner is a native of Hungary. She followed her parents to Ireland in 2009 after finishing secondary school and lived in Ardra and Donegal town before moving to Letterkenny, where she set up Dream Nails in 2018.
Okay, so I came to Ireland 12 years ago and started up in Ardra because my parents got a job there, so that's why I followed them after I finished school in Hungary. And then I moved to Donegal town because job-wise, and then moved to Letterkenny again for a job, and that was my best decision because I really love being here, and that's where my nail business is actually came through, like my dream came through here, and now we are very busy. So really, really happy to do this.
Was being your own boss and being self-employed something that you always wanted to do?
Actually, I never thought about this. I just knew I loved doing nails and that's it. But never ever thought I would have my own salon before. So this is just amazing.
And have you been located on Church Lane since you moved to Letterkenny?
No. I was then renting a desk in one of the hair salon in the Lower Main Street, and then I moved the salon home. So I was a couple of places, but here 2.5 years ago we are here, and really love this place.
And talk to me about what goes on here, what you do here.
So we do nail treatments and food treatments. And we have a beauty therapist as well, so you can get more or less everything done under one roof.
And how many do you employ here?
So I'm working myself as well, and 4 other girls working with me.
Talk to me about the reopening. Before we started to record, we talked about the difference between the reopening last year and the reopening this year. Last year was much quieter this time last year when you opened. This year, you were telling me it's busier.
Yeah, so when we first reopened last June, that was not very quiet, but compared to this year, it was quiet. Now we are so busy, but I understand that time the people was scared more, and now is the vaccination there, so I think we are getting there, because as I seen in the business and every other business, it got a lot busier this June.
Are there more things happening?
Yes, a lot. I see the people are traveling as well. They're going to holidays already, of course, with keep the everything safety restrictions. But yeah, it's.
And did you miss the interaction with your clients when you were closed?
Yeah. You see, like I really love to be in around people, and to be in just at home and maybe just go to a shop and that's it. That's really drove me crazy. But, well, it was fine for the first few weeks, you know. But after that, it's just I couldn't do anything. You know, everything is done in the house, everything in the garden, what else? So, yeah, I really, really, really missed to be contact with the clients, talk to them, do their nails, and just to see them and be here. When I started to do nails when I was 15, I started to learn myself, and by the way I see how the girls doing it and by internet, and then I just find the courses, and after I finish my school, the Leaving Cert, then I started to do courses, every course that I just seen and I can reach in Hungary, or because they are from a lot of different places. I went to Dublin, Sligo, back to Budapest in Hungary. So what I could do, I just did, because I love to improve, and still these days I'm keep searching what's the newest techniques and what I can learn new. I really enjoy in that.
Do you go home to Hungary often, or have you got a chance to get back home recently?
Well, no, actually, I'm planning to go next week. That is for the business as well. So hopefully I will be able to, but I wasn't, since this COVID coming into our life, I wasn't home yet, because I just couldn't, you know, like no vaccination. And I wouldn't put my parents and my grandparents to danger either, and anybody else. So that's 2 years now I wasn't in Hungary.
So you're looking forward to getting back?
Yes, yes. Looking forward to see all of my family over there.
There's a lot of work that's going on through the Cathedral Quarter project and with Donan. You're happy with how well that's going?
Yes, yes. I think it's really nice. You see, like, this area is very nice, and I think it's very important for the business as well. You know, like, he keep it so tidy and put the flowers out, and that's really good for, especially for a beauty salon, but every business, I think, because when people are walking up and down here, it's just so nice, beautiful, and it's quiet as well for the people who just wanted to, you know, sit out for a coffee and down in the coffee place. That's nice.
And finally, Melinda, what lies ahead for yourself and your business going forward?
Well, I'm happy enough here. I wouldn't want to move. As I said, it's a beautiful place, so I wouldn't want to move at all. And we wouldn't mind to keep growing, you know, but locating here, so nowhere else.
So happy on Church Lane?
Yes, we are. And I think I can speak to my girls as well.
Melinda, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today on Business Matters.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Donan Harvey, David Faulkton, Michelle McCarroll-Neal and Melinda Stella Milner. Thanks to Kevin Fury on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.